effects of the coronavirus continue. It's Monday, February 17th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, we visit two Asian nations dealing with the virus outbreak, a change in security status near the South China Sea, culture learned from refugee letters, looking to the next U.S. election, and Malaysia child safety. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Chinese health officials said Sunday that the number of new cases of the coronavirus has slowed for the third consecutive day. The Health Commission confirmed 1,843 new cases, representing a drop from higher numbers of new cases in recent days. Over the previous 2 days, China had reported more than 7,500 new infections. The death toll from the virus in mainland China hit 1,665, with 142 deaths reported Sunday. National Health Commission spokesman Mi Feng said the trends showed that China was succeeding in controlling the outbreak. But the World Health Organization warned Sunday that it will be impossible to predict which direction this epidemic will take. The impact of the coronavirus outbreak has affected many aspects of life, including the presence of the U.S. National Basketball Association in China. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver feels the sport will be a positive help to Chinese fans, and the league will return to normal operations there.
When it came to the coronavirus, I would say we thought for a moment, should we be doing the things that we've always done around disasters in the world, the kinds of humanitarian relief efforts that we've been involved in China, Africa, India, United States. And we thought, my God, like, from in terms of what we stand for, we should continue to do, this should be business as usual. And so I think that, well, I know from the data that we look at, there continues to be enormous interest in the NBA in China. And my sense is that there will be a return to normalcy fairly soon, but I can't say exactly when.
Also on Sunday, American passengers who had been quarantined on a cruise ship off the coast of Japan since February 3rd were flown home. The American passengers aboard the Diamond Princess, which reported 355 infected people, left the ship Sunday and were put on chartered flights back to the United States, where they will likely be quarantined for another 14 days. The World Health Organization said late Saturday there are 50,580 laboratory-confirmed cases of the coronavirus around the world, with the vast majority of the cases located in China. These are among some of the top Asia headlines that you'll find right now when you make a visit to voanews.com. China reports fewer new cases of coronavirus. U.S. labels China greatest potential adversary. Thai soldiers' deadly rampage puts army on defense. Vietnam turns to private companies for public services needs. Cambodia gets more praise for allowing cruise ship to dock. You can read and watch more on VOA Asia Facebook. Also visit us on Twitter, plus the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. As the new coronavirus continues to claim lives and the global community intensifies efforts to stem the crisis, in Thailand, where scientists had predicted a bigger outbreak of the virus, updated information has been sporadic. That's leaving many Thais, especially broadcasters and others in the media, to wonder if some cases are going undetected or unreported. Steve Sanford reports from Krabi, Thailand.
Experts predicted that Thailand would be one of the countries most at risk for coronavirus transmission because of lenient travel restrictions and the massive influx of Chinese visitors last month. But the low number of reported cases and limited information released by the government has led to major concerns by many in the media.
I want officials to give us information regularly until it is under control and completely finished. Even if the virus comes back, it doesn't matter. But right now, I think officials should treat it like an emergency so we can get all the accurate information and provide it to our audience for their protection.
Some tourists who spoke to VOA said they had been given basic advice repeated in many languages by tour guides to avoid getting the virus.
They in Thai, in China, Korean, Japan, and in English, and they say how we can save us for the coronavirus instead. We can take clean hands and wash hands, and yeah, and then we know it from Germany.
Still, others were taking a more cautious approach.
There's not much news about it, but I guess that's all right in the sense that there hasn't been much here yet, but yeah, you don't really know if you're infected until it's too late, right? So better take some precautions.
Meanwhile, some locals in the predominantly Buddhist nation were taking to more traditional spiritual measures for protection from the deadly virus.
Many customers have family still in China, and they worry but can't do anything about it and want ways to protect themselves, so they turn to the Buddhist faith. When they choose an amulet, they pick ones that are powerful and can protect them from the danger. Some choose amulets that provide good luck and kindness.
As international attention is focused on China to help curb the virus, many observers are concerned that neighboring countries like Thailand are putting business ahead of safety. Steve Sanford for VOA News, Krabi, Thailand.
Several countries around the world are being cautious by testing incoming traffic through their ports. Bangladesh's Cox's Bazar is home to thousands of refugee Rohingya that attract aid workers from different countries, including China. VOA's Malzim Hossein Shakil filed this report from Cox's Bazar on how Bangladesh is avoiding possible infections. Kevin Enix narrates the story.
Bangladesh health officials say the country has yet to have a positive case of coronavirus. But while the virus hasn't spread, tensions have. Special precautionary measures are being taken in Cox's Bazar, which is a border district and home to one of the world's largest refugee camps, housing at least 300,000 Rohingya. People from different countries, including Chinese citizens, are working on ongoing development projects and aiding the Rohingya camps. Local government says all ports have checkpoints for testing any incoming traffic.
I set up a checking point at Cox's Bazar Airport and Teknaf Lamport. Foreigners have been kept under special surveillance, including Chinese citizens. We have all kinds of preparations.
Isolation wards and cabins have been prepared at the Cox's Bazar District Hospital as precautionary measures. Public awareness programs are also being implemented in the highly populated Rohingya camp.
Health education is being provided at the Rohingya camp. Various programs have been taken to prevent the spread of the virus.
All health advisors at this time suggest basic hygiene solutions like washing hands regularly. For Muazzam Hossein Shakil in Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh, this is Kevin Enix, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia news, Australia has extended its ban on travelers from mainland China for at least another week because of the coronavirus outbreak. The country's chief medical officer also has condemned xenophobia toward Chinese Australians as the number of deaths from COVID-19 continues to grow. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today as we begin another week on VOA Asia. President Donald Trump downplayed Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte's notice to terminate the Visiting Forces Agreement. That's a decades-old pact that allows American forces to train in the country. Trump said the termination will save the United States a lot of money, but analysts say scrapping the agreement will deliver a serious blow to U.S. credibility as a security provider to counter China's influence in the region. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Suara has this report.
For decades, American and Filipino soldiers have trained together under the 1999 Visiting Forces Agreement. President Donald Trump said the U.S. has been instrumental in helping the Philippines fight the Islamic State terror group, but dismissed Manila's notice to terminate the VFA, saying the move will save the U.S. a lot of money.
And my relationship, as you know, is a very good one with their leader, and we'll see what happens. They'll have to tell me that.
Trump's statement contradicts his Secretary of Defense, who says the VFA termination runs counter to efforts urging China to abide by international norms in the region. Earlier this week, Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte made the announcement after criticizing Washington's reported decision to cancel the U.S. visa of his former national police chief. The former police official enforced Duterte's war on drugs, which killed thousands and is condemned by human rights groups.
Trump and others are trying to save the visiting forces agreement. I said I did not want it. The Americans are very rude.
One is that napakabastos ng Amerikano.
Unless a new deal is reached, the VFA will terminate in 6 months. While many within the security establishment in Manila and Washington want to maintain the pact, resistance from both leaders may make it difficult.
Rodrigo Duterte hates the Americans, wants to align the Philippines with China, and has been saying that the visiting forces agreement should go for decades. Donald Trump despises alliances in general, thinks they're a waste of money, and just said that he doesn't care if an alliance ends. All of that is very consistent.
The Philippines is the oldest U.S. treaty ally in the Pacific, older even than the Japanese and Korean alliance.
If the narrative becomes that the Philippines walked away because they saw the Americans as a paper tiger, then that becomes self-reinforcing. It starts to raise questions about U.S. credibility throughout the region. The second, maybe more immediate impact is that it really empowers China to do whatever it wants in the South China Sea, because without access to the Philippines, the closest U.S. ground-based military power is 1,300 nautical miles away in Okinawa. That is hardly an effective deterrent.
Analysts say that not having American troops in the Philippines may hamper intelligence gathering and counter-terror operations, and could mean a slower American response to help the region deal with natural disasters. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News at the White House.
Coming up, exploring cultural roots. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Millman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news alert from VOA Asia. As the death toll from the COVID-19 virus continues to mount within China, the world is beginning to experience the economic fallout from the epidemic, and major events are now being canceled. Officials said as of Friday, there were nearly 64,000 confirmed cases in mainland China. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, children of immigrants who are born in the United States often struggle to understand their own identity. A Cambodian-American actress is using her art to explore her roots through a very personal story. VOA's Chetra Chap reports.
Dad, I'm going to write a play. Can you tell me more about how our relatives escaped the Khmer Rouge? How did they get to America?
This is Kolyan Ung on stage, performing Letters from Home, a play about her Cambodian relatives who wrote letters to her father asking him to help them escape the Khmer Rouge genocide.
They began in 1979 and spanned over the next several years, and they were letters from my family members who were trying to get out of the refugee camps asking for my father to help them because my father was in America.
You read each letter at the fireplace and then threw them into the fire.
Her father, China Ri Ung, is an internationally respected, award-winning composer. He got a scholarship to study music in the U.S. in 1964. In the late 1970s, China Ri Ung witnessed from afar some 1.7 million Cambodians executed by the country's most destructive communist regime, the Khmer Rouge. Later, he exchanged hundreds of letters with his surviving relatives living in refugee camps in Thailand. He was trying to find and sponsor them to America.
After 40 years, I buried the letter in the box. It just upset me to read those letters. But finally, I have faith on Kolyan because she became a capable actor.
Based in Los Angeles, the 33-year-old Cambodian-American actress earned her Master of Fine Arts in Acting from California Institute of the Arts, and she has worked with critically acclaimed theaters and opera companies such as Critical Mass Performance and Independent Shakespeare.
My noble father.
But working on such a personal project demanded more than just professional training and experience.
I felt overwhelmed because it is overwhelming and the passages were very sad, but also because I was watching my father finally deal with it. And my father never talked about it.
Letters from Home is a 2-hour multimedia solo performance based on the letters from Ong's father and his emotional journey dealing with what happened.
I hold the rocks one in each hand. It is the only thing to console me.
In the play, Ong speaks, sings, and dances to tell us stories that pays tribute to refugees, immigrants, and the traumas passed down within families. Ong said working on this project allowed her to explore her connection to her family, legacy, and the countries of her father's birth.
As I started investigating the letters and as I started figuring out what my play was, I started realizing that I could also channel my relatives, my ancestors, through Shakespeare. And so the play is also about that, about understanding what it is to be Cambodian, maybe, perhaps, what it is to be an artist, a Cambodian artist.
Kalyan Ong has performed Letters from Home more than 20 times across the U.S., and she is scheduled to bring the play to Thailand and Cambodia in June. I'm Chatra Chap for VOA News, Los Angeles.
This news from VOA Asia. Hundreds of children at work in Cambodian brick factories, according to a survey by labor groups. Spokesmen deny the reports. The labor ministry last year launched a campaign to end child labor in brick kilns and announced it would crack down on brick kiln owners that still employ children. You can visit VOA Asia on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, in the 2016 presidential election, Donald Trump carried Wisconsin by fewer than 25,000 votes out of nearly 3 million ballots cast. Winning the state helped propel his larger victory over Democrat Hillary Clinton. Looking ahead, both political parties want to carry Wisconsin in the 2020 presidential contest. As VOA's Kane Faribault reports, many pollsters who gauged voter sentiment in the weeks leading up to the 2016 election got it wrong and are committed to getting it right in 2020.
As she ponders next year's presidential election, Egg Harbor, Wisconsin voter Bernadette Rainsford believes there is one key reason why Donald Trump won her state in 2016.
Hillary didn't get here last time, and we thought it might have helped.
It's a complaint echoed by some Wisconsin Democrats who believe Hillary Clinton could have won if she had personally rallied voters here in the final weeks of the campaign. But polling in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, three states Trump narrowly won, suggested Clinton was leading and didn't need to show up.
Over 100 polls were done in those three states, and only one in Michigan in October ever showed Trump actually leading.
Charles Franklin is the director of the Marquette University Law School poll.
That cumulative public polling, including mine, was part of the reason that the evidence pointed to a Clinton win here. So it was a sweeping error.
In several states, perhaps, but not nationally.
Nationally, the polling showed Clinton with about a 3 percentage point lead in the popular vote. She actually won the popular vote by about a 2-point margin.
Franklin says there are several factors why polling then didn't accurately predict the outcome. In Wisconsin, many undecided voters made up their minds in the final weeks of the campaign, when Trump appeared in the state numerous times.
Wow.
Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton campaigned elsewhere.
Of people who said they decided in the last week, 2/3 voted for Trump, 1/3 for Clinton in the Wisconsin exit poll data. And for people who were conflicted and did not like either candidate, 75% voted for Trump.
Another factor, says Franklin, is education levels among those polled.
In the past, higher education has correlated with voting more Republican, lower education voting more Democratic.
Come on, now get to top gear.
But in 2016, that largely shifted with Trump gaining his strongest support, especially among whites who do not have a college education. So one of the things that pollsters are doing in adapting to that is making use of education in a way that was not used before.
With the lessons of 2016 still fresh in his mind, Franklin is committed to getting it right in 2020.
I think we have a professional responsibility to report the best data that we're capable of creating and then let the chips fall where they may, and that's the position I'll be taking through the coming year.
Bernadette Rainsford hopes the eventual Democratic nominee won't rely as much on polling this time and already notices candidates paying more attention to her state.
I'm happy that the Democrats are going to be here this time.
Franklin says current polling is mixed, with Trump owning a slight lead over his top Democratic challengers, including former Vice President Joe Biden, in head-to-head matchups in the November 2020 general election. But he also adds a lot can change between now and then. Kane Faribault, VOA News, Madison, Wisconsin.
Since the beginning of this year, Malaysia is requiring the use of child safety seats. But as Dave Grunenbaum reports for VOA, studies show that getting families to use them may be an uphill battle.
While waiting for his five-year-old twins to get out of school, Raj Raju gets their child safety seats ready.
So I think my kids, their life is very important for me, so I invested in the car seat.
On January 1st, child safety seats became a requirement in Malaysia, but Raju and his wife Jay Menon have been using safety seats since shortly after their children were born.
Like anything can happen in a split second, and we don't want to regret anything further on down the road.
But they appear to be a minority. A study conducted last year in Malaysia found that less than half of the cars on the road with children ages 12 and under had child safety seats.
The usage of the child restraint system, or CRS, is actually proven to save life of the children.
More than 1,500 children under the age of 10 died in road accidents in Malaysia from 2007 to 2017, according to the Malaysian Institute of Road Safety Research.
A child restraint system is actually appropriate for a child use in the car because it is designed for a child to protect them, to restrain them whenever there is a motor crash or an accident. Yeah, because seat belt only. Yeah, it is actually designed for an adult.
Hello. Statistics from various road safety groups show that children secured properly in a safety seat are up to 71% less likely to die in a car accident.
You really can't put a price on our children's lives, and it's just something small to pay for to ensure that they are safe all the time.
So you recommend this one?
Omar Mohammed is shopping for a child safety seat for his car. He and his wife already have one in her car for their two-year-old son.
Most of the time the car is in her car, so every time we want to move into my car, I have to actually prepare half an hour before, take out the car seat, put it in my car, fix it properly, then only we can go. So now I'm buying a new one, one more to put in my car so that one in each car and we're ready to go anytime.
But it may take some families more time to adjust.
For many years, people have not been having car seats here. Quite a number of people have not, right? So it's a change of mindset and it will take time.
The government says families have until July to begin using the child car seats. After that, violators will be fined. For VOA News, Dave Grunenbaum, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you joined us today. If you missed part of our program, find the whole thing online. It's on iTunes and SoundCloud. Of course, it's on our website as well, voanews.com. And we ask you to follow us on our various social media channels like YouTube, Instagram, and VOA Asia Twitter. You can also follow us on the radio throughout Asia on great radio stations like Falcon Radio at Adamson University in the Philippines. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd also like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Tony Pollack, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, including Ira Melman, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead.